Good morning, and welcome, those who are here live, those who are watching on camera. I want to thank once again for the 18-hour share. I'd like to thank the Weinbaum Foundation, as well as Serena and David Kashitsky, who are sponsoring in memory of Riva Kashitsky, Zichrono Levracha. I want to thank Or Chaim for hosting the entire 18-hour share, and Peter for doing the webcast. And as noted, and I assume was mentioned also in the previous year, this is also a fundraiser for our programs for university students. Actually, if you go down to the main base address, you would see Rabbi Greenberg giving a year for the for university students right now. If people are able to give, they can give online on the website, at the door here at the building. Let's get started, because we have a lot to talk about in terms of Chagai. Chagai is included in Treyasar. This nevuah, this prophecy, is included in Treyasar, the collection of 12 small books of prophecy that appears at the end of Nevi'im. Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the Nevi'im. They are the prophets of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. A little bit about the chronology, just to explain that. Cyrus permits the Jews to come back and build a Beis HaMikdash. Initially, they just build a Mizbeach, and they start actually bringing Karbanos before they even have a Beis HaMikdash. And then the neighbors get antsy, and they're not comfortable with what we're doing, and they complain to the Persians. Long story in its own right. Read Sefer Ezra for more details on that. But they complain to the Persians, who halt the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And then eventually the Jews get restarted. And that's where Chagai comes into play, is in this attempt to jumpstart the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And we'll see that's going to be very powerful in his message. He and Zechariah are at the same time. And then eventually after them, you have Malachi in the next generation. Chagai is actually mentioned in Sefer Ezra along with Zechariah. It speaks of both of them, which is always interesting when you see a Navi make it, a prophet make it into someone else's book. It's good to give a stronger sense of the chronology. He actually speaks about some who saw the first Beis HaMikdash and the contrast between the experience of the first temple and the second temple, which gives some the sense that he may have actually seen the first Beis HaMikdash. He may be from those who witnessed the first, lived through the 70 years, and then come back for the second. We'll also need to talk a little bit about the Persian kings in the course of this this discussion, but just in general, Cyrus is the one who licenses the Jews to come back. He has a son, Cambyses, who takes over from him, goes to war against Egypt. He is followed in turn by Darius, the one who the Medrash says may have been the son of Esther and Ahasuerus. The Dariuses are a mess in terms of figuring out who the Cyruses are, who the Dariuses are, because there are multiple. And when you read the Navi, when you read the prophets, it becomes very confusing. We're going to try to minimize the confusion to the extent possible. But Chagai, you can already tell from just the minute of background that I've given you, is very relevant for Jews today. He is speaking to Jews who either have come back to Israel to build the Beis HaMikdash but are disheartened by the problems and obstacles that they face, the fact that it doesn't live up to their vision, or alternatively, to the Jews who have stayed in Babel, who haven't even come back. And he's trying to encourage them, come back and build. So that when you talk about, you know, our day, and Jews are wondering, is it time, isn't it time, should we be coming back, and so forth, it actually, you know, what he has to say to them really resonates for us. His target group includes those who came back from Babel, as well as those who did not. So the themes that we're going to see are Hashem's connection to the nation, rebuke for failing to immediately build the Beis HaMikdash. There will be an odd discussion about the Kohanim and what they know and don't know about their jobs, which we'll have to get to as well. And we'll see more as we go through it. My goal is actually to get through the Sefer. Well, you know, it's two prakim, it's two chapters. I would love to say in the next hour we're going to get through the Sefer. We'll see whether that will actually happen. But let's start. You should have on your sheets, your first page is the Hebrew, and then followed by basically the JPS translation. I modified it a little bit to humanize it a little bit, but not too much. It's still, you know, what it looks like. So you have the Hebrew and the English, and then following that, some notes some sources that I'm going to bring that are relevant. Take a look at the start of the Sefer. We're in the Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 1, sentence 1. Bishnas Shtayim L'Dayavash HaMelech. It is the second year of King Darius. Bachodesh HaShishi, the sixth month. What is the sixth month on our calendar? Elul, correct. The Bachodesh HaShishi, B'yom Echad L'Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Elul. Hayadvar Hashem via Chagai Hanavi. Hashem sent a message via Chagai El Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel Pachas Yehuda to Zerubbabel. He is the leader, the political leader, the governor of the Jews who have returned to Judea. Vel Yoshua ben Yehotzadak HaKohen HaGadol, Yoshua Kohen Gadol. You may remember him also from the beginning of Zechariah, saying, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakos, so declares God, Lemor, Ha'am Hazeh Amru, Lo Eis Bo Eis Beis Hashem Lihibanos. This nation says the time has not come to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the opening message that Haggai gives in this period when the Jews have stopped building the second temple. They've stopped building the second Beis HaMikdash. So when you look at this date, you know this is a loaded date, right? What is Rosh Chodesh Elul in Jewish history? What is it, what is the beginning of Elul to us, to a Jew? Tshuva. Okay, but historically, what happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul? Oh boy. Right, Moshe goes up to get the second set of luchos. That's our classic chronology, is that Moshe goes up in order to get, right, you have the whole cycle, the three periods of 40 days. Rashi gives you all the dates as he calculates them. So that's when Moshe goes up to get the second set of luchos, that's when Haggai has this message. So take a look at what I brought you from Abarbanel in the first source, right after the Hebrew and English of Haggai. Look at what I brought you there. It's actually his introduction to Zechariah. He says, V'zachar gam kein shaya b'chodesh ha-shishi b'echal b'chodesh. It also mentioned that this was the sixth month, first day of the month. Shuv b'yom ha-rishon l'chodesh Elul, for the math challenged. It's the first day of Elul. La'agid sha-zman he'iruhu al-zeh, to say that the date on the calendar was what triggered the nevuah, was what triggered the prophecy. Sheba'oso yom ala Moshe lahar l'kabel luchos shniyos. That's when Moshe went up the mountain to get the second set of tablets. Achrei shekranish tabor rishonos, after the first had been broken. Kacha achrei churban arishon. So too, the breaking of the first tablets, the breaking of the first Beis HaMikdash. So now, kacha achrei churban arishon, ba'oso yom hamakudash. On that holy day, tchilas mem yemei tshuva, the beginning of the 40 days of tshuva, ba l'chagai ha-nevuah. Binyan b'yasheni, Haggai gets a message about building the second Beis HaMikdash. So Abarbanel says it's not happenstance that you have this association. The day is a loaded day, and it's what leads to the nevuah. So he is told to go speak to Zerubbabel, who is of the Davidic line, who is the political leader of the returnees. Notice the Gemara in Horio says he's mentioned before the Kohen Gadol. King precedes Kohen Gadol. So this Zerubbabel, who may have been the son of Shaltiel, may have been the nephew of Shaltiel, that's its own discussion as to exactly how the relationship works. But the point for us is that the message is, you keep saying it's not time to build the Beis HaMikdash. Interesting note. You saw the way that he names God? Ko Amar Hashem Tzivakos. So declares Hashem, and then this one of the special seven names of Hashem, Tzadi Beis Aleph, Vav Tav, written Tzivakos, because it is one of those names we don't erase. Take a look at the Zohar on the next slide. Source number 2. When the pasuk says, so declares God, Tzvakos, he says, Kidein mila asya barachme. He says, that means that the message is coming with mercy. As opposed to Zimna Dechsiv Komar Hashem Elokim, when it says, so says God Elokim, that's Bedina. That means it's coming with judgment. In other words, Hashem is not angry at the Jews who have failed to build the second Beis HaMikdash. It's a merciful statement, but it is a statement of, hey, get going and build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the people have said, it's not time. Why do the people think it's not time? Simple explanation, Rashi Radak, because of the political opposition, because of those in the land who had convinced the Persians not to build the second temple. And that would be the simple and straightforward read of the sentence. However, Rashi gives you another perspective on this, playing off of their wording. When the pasuk said, "Lo ace bo," ace beis Hashem lehibanos. It is not the time to come. It is not the time for the house to be rebuilt. Playing on the word time, Rashi says, and he brings you an alternative. It's the third source, suggesting that it's because of the miscalculations. They had made a miscalculation initially of when the 70 years would end. There were various ways to count it because Nebuchadnezzar conquered us not once but multiple times. And therefore they had calculated incorrectly in the past, and therefore their feeling was, you know, it can't be. Can't be. That's why they emphasized time. Ibn Ezra has another way to take time. He says that's not what this is about. But that's Rashi's read. And then a third approach comes from Malbim in source number 4. And Malbim says the problem is the lack of miracles. And this is, again, one of those ways in which the Nevuah of Haggai resonates for us today. Malbim says that the Jews fear it's not really time because where are the signs and wonders? If it's really time, why is it that we're not seeing, you know, great thunder and lightning and demonstrations of divine might and so forth? Malbim writes, Shayam akubal biyad ha'umal epi anaviyim. They had a prophetic tradition. Shalifnei ha'geula ha'amidis tzarech sheyu mosim b'shamayim uva'aretz. They thought there were going to be wonders on heaven and earth. Right? Mosim b'shamayim uva'aretz, dam va'esh v'sim ras ashan from Yoel. Right? The Haggadah. They thought that they were going to be signs and wonders. Melchemes Gog u'Magog, the war Gog and Magog. Ve'ech nomer shabai es ha'binyin, emadayin lo yesh ha'esh ha'tzvicha liyos kodem ha'binyin. How can you tell me it's time to build? We didn't even have the time before the time to build yet. We haven't seen it. So they thought, can't be. You can read the rest of the Malbim directly. It's there on the page. So look at the continuation of this nevuah, of this prophecy. Let's go back to Haggai. We're in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. We've done two sentences. We're on, right on track. The chapter 1, sentence 3. Vayhi dvar Hashem biyat Haggai anavi lemor. The word of God comes via Haggai. Ha'es lachem atem lasheves bivateichem spunim v'abayis hazeh harev. Tell me something. Is this the time for you to sit in your houses? Sifunim. What does the word sifunim mean? Chalkat mechokek safun from Bezos Abraha. Sorry? Hidden, stored away, like a treasure, sometimes we'll use that term. You're saying it's not the time to build. Is it the time for you to be sitting in your houses? Is that what it's the time for? V'bayis hazeh harev, while Hashem's house is in ruins. Right? It's an ironic use of the same language they use, this time for ace. You say it's not a time to build. No, it's a time for you to be staying at home, perhaps. That's one way to look at it. If you look at Malbim, which I brought you in source number 5, Malbim says, "Hello, gam lazet sarich sheyabo ha'ace sheyidu anavim shteishu b'shalva." You think we need a particular time to come to build the second base on Mikdash? You need a particular time to come to be able to sit in your houses. That's also based on the Nevi'im. Ve'natem sholim bazel eis miyuad. You're not asking, is it the time for us to sit at home? What about that? Hello, tiru v'tibachanu shetzvichem atem livnos hamikdash. She says, you are responsible to build the base hamikdash. Don't wait for someone to tell you that it's the time. Wait for someone to tell you it's the time that you belong at home. And think about that in terms of the first base hamikdash. How did the first base hamikdash get built? How did that happen? Well, Shlomo builds it, but who has the idea? David. Who comes to whom to build the first Beis HaMikdash? David comes to the Navi. Not the Navi coming to David. David doesn't wait until somebody says to him, it's time to build. David goes to the Navi and says, it's time to build. And the Navi says, yeah, but not you. Right? For reasons that are discussed in the various Sifrei Nevuah with different explanations that are offered. But David is the one who says, it's not right. I should be building. And then the Navi has to tell him when and how. Now you're going to sit there waiting for the Navi to tell you to build. Chutzpah. You should go to the Navi and say it's time to build. You don't need me to tell you. So says Haggai, and he turns to them with a phrase that he will repeat multiple times in the book, back in Pasuk Hey. Ve'ata, and now, Kol amar Hashem Tzvakos, so declares God. Simu levavchem al darcheichem. Pay attention to your ways. Pay attention to your situation. The phrase simu levavchem is Haggai's favorite phrase. I don't know if that was literally his favorite, but he uses it four times in a very short book. He says, you gotta notice. You gotta pay attention to it. And he says, ziratem harbei, v'havei ma'at. You plant a lot, and you only bring in a little. A whole you eat, ve'en l'sov ah, and there is no satiation. Shaso, you drink, ve'en l'shochra, and you don't become intoxicated. It means not literally intoxication, but it means there's no satisfaction that comes of your drinking. Lavosh, ve'en l'chom lo. You wear clothing, but you don't get warm. V'hamistaker mistaker el tzor nakuv. And as far as the person who's trying to make a living, it's like his wallet has a hole in it. The money just burns its way through. You don't actually, you're not actually getting anywhere. No, he's just saying, pay attention. Your personal welfare is suffering. It's the opposite of what you would have expected to happen. It's not happening. Rashi notes, did I bring it on the sheet? I don't think I did. I brought you the Medrash Tanchuma that Rashi is based on. That there are parallels between the way that you are not profiting and what the Beis Hamikdash is lacking. So the Medrash says, you're not bringing Bikurim, therefore when you plant, you only get a little bit. You're not full because you don't have the Lechem Apanim, the showbread that's supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash every week, and so on. You're lacking because there's no Beis HaMikdash, because you don't have the things that come with the Beis HaMikdash. And so he says to them, and now he shifts into his second phase. That was his phase of identifying the problem. So now he says, here's the deal. This is what has to happen. I love this passage. He says, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakos. So declares again Hashem Tzvakos, which the Zohar said is Racham and is mercy. Simu levavchem al darcheichem. There's your second appearance. Pay attention to your ways. Alu hahar. Go up the mountain. V'haveisem eitz. Bring wood. Uvnu habayis. And build the house. Right? It's that, like, don't overthink it. Okay? Har HaBayis is over there. You have wood. Go up and build it. That's all. He makes it sound so easy, no? He didn't notice the mosque. But that's what he says. The Eretz Bo, I will desire it. The Ekavda, and it will be my honor to be there. Amar Hashem, declares God. That's it. Do it with your hands. Do it with wood, whatever the material is that you now have, and go ahead. And it will be glorious. It will be glorious even for me. What he's doing here cannot be overstated. What he's doing is not only telling them to go build. What else is Haggai providing for this population besides the instruction to build? Hope. In what sense?
Hashem will come.
Yeah, right? If you build it, they will come. He's saying, this is going to succeed. This is going to fly. You're going to build it, and Hashem is going to respond. And not only that, he will consider it an honor. Remember, we said, why is it that the people said, this isn't yet time? One of the reasons why they said it wasn't time is because we don't have the miracles. Maybe God isn't really with us. We're not at that level. You know, who are we? And he says, Hashem will find it to be glorious. And what this also accomplishes is it adds honor for them. If you take a look, I brought in your sheets. I couldn't resist. The source number 7, Yehuda Avner, from the Prime Ministers, talking about when Menachem Begin came into office. This is an interview of a Sephardi on the street in Israel. So tell us, Marcel, what did you do in Casablanca, right, where you lived before coming to this new state? I was a bookkeeper. That's an occupation of kavod. Now I'm a waiter. In Morocco, only Arabs are waiters. Okay. In Casablanca, we lived in a big house with a courtyard. Now I, my wife, my 3 children, my mother, my father, all of us live in 4 ramshackle rooms. Our kavod has been trampled upon. The Ashkenazi labor bosses did that, and now Menachem Begin is giving us our kavod back. The sense of dignity, the sense of honor, is what Haggai is trying to restore at this point for the Jews by saying, Hashem will be with you when you build it. Now, if you take a look at the Hebrew word that's used for kavod in the pasuk, You'll notice that I added a hey in brackets, right? Because it's written without the hey on the end. It sounds like ve'ekaved rather than ve'ekaved or ve'ekaved, as opposed to ve'ekavda. The Medrash plays on that hey. It's a Gemara in Yuma in source number 8, and it says hey, the numerical value of the letter hey is 5, because there are 5 things that are lacking. In other words, even though Hashem is saying it's going to be wonderful, just build it, it'll be great, you should know there are 5 things that are lacking, and it's built in as the Medrash reads it, and they are the Aron, the Kapores on top of the Aron with the Kruvim that sit on top of that, the cherubs, the Esh, the fire coming down onto the Mizbeach, Ushchina, the manifestation of Hashem, Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, and Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol that operates via the Urim, that operates via this Ruach HaKodesh, this inspiration. How you count to 5, I gave you one way to do it on your sheet in source number 8. But the idea is, there is in fact something that is missing. Okay. So, He's telling them, it's time to build, and Hashem will be with you when you build. That brings us to Pasuk Tes, sentence 9, and the description of what will happen now to replace the current disappointment. Pano el harbe, vihine lema'at, you turn to a lot, the a lot that you had expected. And lo and behold, you have little. Vavesem habayis, bring it to the house, meaning to the Beis HaMikdash. V'napachti bo, and I will blow into it. It means I will inflate it. It will, I'm just looking at the Da'at Mikra at the same time as I'm looking at my translation. And that's confusing me a bit. But the way that I have it on here, hang on. Did I skip it on here? Looks like I skipped the paragraph in the translation. Not faster. Okay. The Hashem is describing destruction here at this stage. The translation isn't on your sheet. For some reason, I missed it. But Hashem says, Pano el harbe v'hineh lema'at, you turn to the plenty that you have, and instead you find little. V'havesem habayis, you bring it to the house. V'nafachti bo, and I blow on it. As that mikra explains, it's a destructive blowing on it. I actually cause it to be consumed in fire. That's what he's saying. Yan meh. Why am I doing this? Nu Hashem Tzvakos. This is the word of God. Yan beisi asher hu charev ve'atem ratzim ish lebeiso. Because my house is desolate, and you all are running home. Everybody gets to run to their house. So this is a criticism. But notice what he says about how the destruction comes to pass. He says, I am the agent of destruction. Whereas I am promising to help you, and I'm going to make everything wonderful, until that point, when you actually start to build, I'm going to be the source of despair. I'm going to be the one who is destroying the plenty that you have. Al kein aleichem kol ushamayim mital. Therefore, upon you, the heavens no longer are bringing the dew. The haaretz kala yivula, and the earth, the produce of the earth is gone. Vayikra chorev al haaretz val haharim val hadagan val tirosh val hayitzar val hayitzar val asher totziu adama. And I call desolation upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the grain, upon the wine, upon the oil, upon everything the land produces. V'al ha'adam v'al ha'beima, man and beast, v'al kol yegia kapayim, and everything that you work for. Notice the parallel that went on here. In Pasuk Tet, right, in sentence 9, he said, Yan Beisi Asher Hu Charev, because my house is in ruins, therefore Vayekra Chorev, I will call ruin upon the land. It's a parallel. This is what you do, this is what I do. I'm going to respond to you in kind. The other point that I wanted to show you is what Radak states. I brought it on the sheet. In source number 9, Radak says, "Be'artzos hagoyim yarad ageshem ve'yered ageshem be'atal." He says, "In the lands of the nations, Rain is going to fall. Dew will be there. Ba'alechem be'artzechem, but on you in your land, kal'u shamayim afilu mital she'eno netzar, everything is going to stop. The rain is going to stop, even dew, which normally doesn't halt. Even that's going to stop. In other words, the emphasis in the pasuk is alechem, on you. You'll see. The problem's only going to be in your land. The problem is only going to be with your produce. That's where the suffering will take place, and that will be a sign that it's really about your deeds. There's a medrash I brought you in number 10, which talks about it starting with us and then spreading to others. Fine. So he says to them, essentially what you've seen is, you have no right to be sitting in your homes waiting for someone to tell you to build. It's for you to build. That's number one. Number two, when you build, I will respond. And number three, fail to build, I'm going to come after you myself. That's the message that Haggai begins with to the nation. So, unlike much of the rest of Tanakh, the Jews respond. Take a look at Pasuk Yudbet. It's like reading Sefer Yonah. Vayishma Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel v'Yoshua ben Yehoshadak HaKohen Gadol. Zerubbabel listens. Yehoshua listens. V'chol She'eris Ha'am and the remnant of the nation, they all listen v'kol Hashem Elokeihem to the voice of Hashem their God. V'al Divrei Chagai HaNavi and the words of Chagai Kasher Shlacho Hashem Elokeihem as Hashem had sent him. Vayire'u Ha'am mipnei Hashem. And they all revere God. And they say, oh, we got to do something. By the way, you notice the double reference in the pasuk to the voice of Hashem, their God. So this is something that I think is a theme throughout Sefer Haggai, which is the theme of association with Hashem, in the sense that Haggai took pains multiple times to say, this is Ne'um Hashem Tzvakos. This is the word of God, this is the word of God, this is the word of God. Why does Haggai need to do that?
Because that's what the people are wondering about.
Well, that's what they're wondering about, but more than that, stronger than that. They've been in Golas for 70 years. Maybe Hashem has forgotten us. Maybe Hashem is not interested in us. You had Yechezkel when they were in Golas. You had a little bit of that prophecy, but fundamentally, they're wondering if Hashem is with them. And therefore, he keeps emphasizing, this isn't me talking, this is God talking. And that's what they respond to. That the call Hashem Elokeihem, Kasher Shlacho Hashem Elokeihem. There's that insistence that it's about fundamentally recognizing this is a message from God, and so they listen to Hashem and they listen to Haggai. Ibn Ezra says what the point is that it wasn't about Haggai personally; it's about the message that that Hashem sends. Okay, so what happens? Pasuk Yud Gimel, sentence 13. Vayomer Chagai Malach Hashem b'Malachus Hashem Lo'om Lemor. Chagai, Malach of Hashem. Malach not meaning angel, Malach meaning messenger. Chagai, the messenger of God, on a mission from Hashem to the nation. He says, Ani itchem Ne'um Hashem. I am with you. Right? He's back in the positive notes, like he was before. I am with you. God is going to be with you. Vayar Hashem et Ruach Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel Pachas Yehuda, and Hashem got Zerubbabel going. Ves Ruach Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak HaKohen HaGadol, he got Yehoshua going. Ves Ruach Kol She'eris Ha'am, and the spirit of the rest of the nation. Vayavohu vayahasu malacha beveis Hashem Tzvakos Elokeihem. And they start to build. They go back to the site that had been abandoned, and they start once again with their construction, as Rashi says. I brought it for you in source number 12. Hitchilu misatatin ba'avanim u'menasrin eitzim. They began chiseling stones, planing wood. They're doing the hard work that is necessary in order for them to build. And the reason why we stress that is because of something we'll see in chapter 2, sentence 15, Perek Bet Pasuk Tezvav. We'll talk about the stones there, but that's what this is preparation for when Rashi makes the comment here. Last sentence in the first parak, we're halfway through. Biyom esrim ve'arba'a lachodesh bashishi, on the 24th day of the month, the 6th. 6th month, once again, is Elul, day 24 of Elul, b'shnas shtayim l'dayavash hamelech, the second year of King Darius. What is the big deal about the 24th day of Elul? What is the 24th day of Elul?
Beginning of creation,
right? If you take the approach that when we say Hayom Haras Olam on Rosh Hashanah, that doesn't mean the day was actually, that's the day when the world began to be created, but rather it's the day of human beings. right? Aleph Tishrei is the day of human beings. Count backwards. The 24th of Elul is the day when the universe is created, and the theme that we have here is the association of the Beis Hamikdash with the universe. Right? Going back to the Gemara that we saw in one of my earlier shiurim today, the Gemara that says that the Beis Hamikdash is one of those things that Hashem plans before there is a universe. It's necessary to the universe that there be a place where human being and God can connect. That must be there. That's the Beis Hamikdash. And so we have all sorts of associations that we make between the Beis Hamikdash and the and creation, right? Other associations that we make. Mentioned this in a shiur last week. The whole David Adam Harishon connection, right? About how Adam Harishon gives years of his life for David HaMelech. He gives him 70 years. The fact that we say in Tehillim Perek Chav Daleh, the 24th chapter of Tehillim, L'Hashem Aratzum Blawah, Tevel Yoshevak, L'Yamim Tzadav, Naros Chananeha, and all that, about Hashem founding the universe, and that same chapter of Tehillim talks about Se'usharim Rashechem, the gates opening up, which we take to be, at least on one level, the gates of the Beis Hamikdash. There's this intimate connection between creation and the Beis Hamikdash. There are many more applications of this. Sorry? Lamatas Malachos of creation, which you don't do on Shabbos, and which are associated with creation, and which defined by the Mishkan and then, correct.
Don't we say the physical rock?
The Evin Shisiyah, right? The idea that there's a stone there that goes back to creation. That would be another example. The pasuk that says, "Im lo brisi yomam v'layla chuko shemayim v'aret lo samti." If not for my covenant day and night, I wouldn't have created heaven and earth. So on a simple level, my covenant day and night is Torah, v'agisa v'yomam v'layla. But there's a Gemara that mentions that it's actually the Karbanos. The not for the Karbanos, then I wouldn't have created heaven and earth. There is this connection between the temple, between the Beis Hamikdash and creation, and the Beis Hamikdash is a fulfillment of creation. So right here, Haggai says, on the day that the world was created, that's the day when they start again to build this Beis Hamikdash. Good. So that brings us to Perek Beis, chapter 2. Bashavi'i, in the 7th month, Be'esrim ve'achod lachodesh, the 21st day of the month, Hayad v'Hashem b'yad Chagai Navi le'mor, Hashem sent another message via Chagai. What's the 21st day of the 7th month? Hoshana Rabbah. That is indeed Hoshana Rabbah. What is special about Hoshana Rabbah? What happens on Hoshana Rabbah? Oh, come on. What is Hoshana Rabbah special for? In our davening, what do we do on our Hoshana Rabbah? We daven for rain, because it's the end of the judgment for rain. Sukkot, we're told, Nidonim al Hamayim, you're judged for the year's rain. Hoshana Rabbah is the last day. Shemini Atzeres is a different Yom Tov. So your judgment for rain stops, and that's why we go around 7 times, and that's the business with the Arabos and so forth. It's the end of the year's judgment for rain. What was it that Hashem said had been withheld from them until now? Rain. Correct. So now, on this day, we get a message. Bashvi be'esrim be'achod lachodesh. On the 7th month, the 21st day of the month, we're told, Pasuk Beis, Emor na el Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel pachas Yehuda. Tell Zerubbabel, the leader, the political leader, the governor of Yehuda, Vel Yoshua ben Yehotztak HaKohen HaGadol, Yoshua Kohen Gadol, Vel She'ir Salam Lemor, and the rest of them. Mi vachem ha-nish'ar asher ra'ah es habayis hazeh b'chvodo ha-rishon. Who among you remains who saw this house in its original glory? Uma tem ro'im oso ata. And what do you see when you look at it now? Halo chamohu ke'ayin be'inechem. It's like nothing in your eyes. You saw the grandeur of the first, and you see the humble building you've built now, and you say, ah, this can't compare. Ve'atah, now, Chazak Zerubbabel Nulim Hashem, be strong Zerubbabel, this is the word of God. V'chazak Yoshua ben Yehotzadak HaKohen HaGadol, be strong Yoshua ben Yehotzadak. V'chazak Kol Am Haaretz, and all of you, the entire nation, be strong. Nulim Hashem, this is the word of God. Va'asu, just do it, he says. Oh, that would be a good slogan for a sneaker. he says, just do, asu. Ki ani itchem, I am with you, ne'um Hashem tzvakos. This is the word of Hashem, God. Es hadavar shekarati itchem b'tzesami Mitzrayim, the covenant I made with you when you left Egypt, v'ruchi, and my spirit, omedes b'sochachem, stands with you. Al tira'u, do not fear. Says Abarbanel, there's an added reason why this message comes on Hoshana Rabbah. What is it that we do every year on Sukkot? Sometimes we do it indoors, and sometimes we do it outdoors, depending on the weather. And it tends not to really live up to its billing. Well, sitting in the sukkah hopefully lives up to its billing. There's something else that communities tend to do, which is not halacha, like you have to do it, but nonetheless we do it. It's a commemoration of something that went on in the Beis HaMikdash. Simchas Beis HaShoeva. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you pour water on the Mizbeach, and we commemorate that celebration that they had, which the Gemara at the end of Sukkah says, if you never saw this, you never saw Simcha. Right? You never saw joy if you never saw the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So we try, you know, and people, you know, maybe get a band and you play some music, and we try to have some kind of Simcha. We try to do it in the Sukkah if the weather permits. Right? That's our version of it. Take a look at Abarbanel in source number 13. Higbil ba'akasuv hayom ba'achodesh v'lo hashana. He says, you notice, the previous times when they gave us a date, it gave us a year. Here it didn't. It just gave us a date. Be'amro b'shvi, be'esim ba'achon l'chodesh. It said the 7th month, 21st day of the month. V'haya zel ha'gid. He says, the point of this was to say, she'inyan hayom hevi'uhu la'osa ha'nevuah, that the day was what triggered the prophecy. Ki haya oso yom chof aleph l'tishrei. That was the 21st day of Tishrei. Yom Hoshana Rabbah. Sof chagasukos. V'u yom ha'arava. Shaisa Simcha Rabba Beveis Hashem. That was the day of great rejoicing in the house of God. Vilachen, and therefore, has the Kenim Shahayu Miskab Simsham, Hayu Bochim Bizachim Simchas Beis HaShoeva, all the elders there who remembered what it was like in the first Beis HaMikdash are crying when they see what they have there now. They remember what it was like. Shaisa Bimahu Nazi Bebais Rishon. Vaiv Nezeb Binyan Bais Sheni Ke'efes Uke'ayin Beinayim. To them it looked like nothing what they had for the second. Ulukach Ba Az Osa Hanavu Lenachamam Alav. And that's why he gets this message here. Because the message didn't really add anything. The first message is in the book I understood. He wanted to tell them it's time to build. Now they're going to build. He wanted to tell them, go ahead, go up the mountain and build. Fine. This message is just, you know, be confident, be strong. Don't worry about what you didn't see here from the first. What's it doing here? It's responding because they're homesick. They remember what they used to have. And they feel like we haven't done it. We haven't lived up to what we haven't accomplished. And so he says, don't worry about it. I will be there. That's the statement that Hashem makes. And he says, Ruchi omedes besochachem. My spirit is with you, which Radak says in source number 14, that's talking about Nevuah, which they have for this period of time, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, until after that, when it indeed does come to a halt. Okay. Pasuk Vav, sentence 6. We're really going to make it. We're going to finish the book. The Kicho Amar Hashem Tzvakos, for so declares once again Hashem Tzvakos, Od Achas Me'at Hi. There is something more coming, he says. One more little step. Vani marish es hashamayim ves haaretz. And I am going to make heaven and earth shake. Ves hayam, ves hacharava, and the sea, and the dry land. Everything is going to tremble. Vihir ashtias kol hagoyim. I will make all the nations shake. Uvau chendas kol hagoyim. And all the treasure of all the nations is going to come. Umileisias habayis hazek kavod. There's that word again. I'm going to fill this house with kavod. Amar Hashem Tzvakos. So declares God, I am going to bring kavod like you never had. That's his declaration. And we're going to get to the rest of this Nevuah in a moment. But before we get to the rest of it, what event is it that he is predicting here when he says, one little bit more, and then I'm going to make the heavens and the earth tremble and so on. What is it that he is predicting? Is there a particular moment in time that he's predicting? What is this prediction? Well, you'll be surprised to know that there are multiple views. Take a look at source number 15 and look at what Rashi says on this Ode Me'at. He says, "Mishetichle malchus parazu hamoshelas aleichem." When Persia is done, odachas takum limshol aleichem leitzar lachem latzer lachem. There's going to be one more kingdom that's going to rise to cause you pain. Min malchus Yavan, the Greeks. Uma'at yehez man memshalta. They're only going to rule over you for a brief period of time. Va'ani marish benisim anasim levnei hashmonai. I am going to cause the earth to shake with the miracles that are going to occur in the days of the hashmonaim. As hashamayim, I'm going to make the heavens shake. Ve'avinu sheshchinasi shorav bayitzeh. They will understand that I dwell in this house. Hanukkah, he says, is what is coming. That's Rashi's take. Radak has a different approach. I brought it for you in source number 16. Radak says, some say it's about the time of Herod. And that there's going to be a famine in those days, and they're going to come, and they'll come to the Beis HaMikdash, and there will be tribute there. That's the way that, that Radak takes it. He says it's in the days of Herod. And then last, Rashi and the Gemara in Sanhedrin suggests that it's about Mashiach. It's about the time of Mashiach. I brought you the Rashi there in source number 17. So all sorts of predictions about what exactly this is, but things are going to shake. Things are going to rattle. And then they will have this great honor that I've talked about for the Bayit, for this Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Ches, sentence 8. Hashem says, Li hakesef, v'li hazahav, ne'um Hashem tzvakos. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. This is the word of God. Gadol yiyeh kvod habayis hazeh ha'acharon min harishon. This house will have greater glory than the first one did. Amar Hashem tzvakos. There it is again. Uvamakom hazeh etein shalom. And here I will create peace. Ne'um Hashem tzvakos. Yet again. That phrase, li hakesef v'li hazahav, the silver and the gold are mine, is a rebuke. Right? And it's used that way. We quote it that way. So who exactly is God rebuking with this message? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin in source number 18 says it's King Jehoiakim, who was a sinful king. And so the Gemara tells the story about him saying, you know what, we don't need Hashem's light, we can use our gold. And they said to him, you can't, the gold belongs to God too. That's a rebuke to King Jehoiakim. That's one approach. Another Gemara in Avodah Zarah says it's a rebuke to the Romans. The Romans talk about how they gathered all the silver and gold so that the Jews would be able to study Torah, and Hashem's response is, you did it all for yourselves, and by the way, the gold belongs to me. And then you have a third passage, a Gemara in Kiddushin, that it's a message to people in general that you should know all your parnasa, all your livelihood, ultimately comes from Hashem. It's a very user-friendly rebuke. You can really fill in the blank in terms of the target. But he says, the latter Beis HaMikdash will be greater than the former, which, in the Gemara in Baba Basra, which I brought you in source number 21, has a debate. Does that mean the structure, it's going to be a nicer looking house? Or does it mean it's going to last longer than the other Beis HaMikdash? That it will actually last longer. Yeah?
But we already said it's deficient in five ways compared to the first.
Right.
And I'm told because it seems like he's saying the Shekhinah will be there. That was one of the things that was absent.
Right, so what they have is they have Nevuah in the beginning, but they never have those miracles restored from the first. But in terms of your initial point, that didn't we just say that, you know, it's not going to have the glory of the first? I think you're correct. And I think that's what drives this Gemara. The Gemara says, we know that it doesn't match the first in terms of certain miracles, so what is this prediction? So the answer is, either it's a better building, or it lasts longer.
Looking for another
explanation for what it could be. That's correct. And as a matter of fact, Ibn Ezra says it never came true. Ibn Ezra says, this was a promise that if you do what's right, then this will happen. But it doesn't actually come to pass. The other question is, he says, I'm going to put shalom in this house. Right? So you had a fair amount of war that went on during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, right? Greeks, Romans, right? So Radak says, yeah, but there were also long periods of peace. Okay, fine. Then we get to the most difficult portion of Sefer Chagai. And that is the test of the Kohanim. There are many ways to understand this test. I tried to make sure there would be some time left so that we could actually go through this, you know, with some care. Look at what Hashem says. We are now in Pasuk Yud, sentence 10. It is the 24th day of the 9th month. What day is that on our calendar? Kislev. Yeah, sorry. It's Erev Hanukkah, right? Erev Hanukkah. Does Hanukkah have any meaning in the day of Haggai?
Possibly.
Why?
What
do you mean?
Well, I mean, okay.
Oh, because they're predicting the Greeks. Maybe, you could say that, but what else?
Solstice?
What, solstice isn't going to have any association with a lunar calendar. The last day you can bring Bikurim is the 24th day of Kislev. Right? We're told Parshas Shavuot. That's right. Parshas Kisavo is coming up. You are correct though. That's another element of this day. It's the last day that you can bring Bikurim. We're told. Okay. So, look at the test that he gives to the Kohanim. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakos, and again, that reiteration of Hashem's name. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakos, Sha'alma es HaKohanim Torah Lemur. Ask the following question of the Kohanim. Hei Nisa'ish B'sar Kodesh B'chnaf Bigdo. If a person were to pick up meat from a karban in his garment, V'naga B'chnafo L'alechem V'alanazir V'alayayin V'alashemen V'alkom Ha'achal, and then he were to touch bread, meat, wine, oil, any food, Ha'yikdash, would it become Kodesh? B'chinan Kachim for the Kohanim. Or Taharos, as we'll see, possibly. If you ever learn the first parak in Pesachim, this comes up. The whole Gemara trying to figure out what in the world is going on in this conversation between Haggai and the Kohanim, and you break your head trying to understand it. Vayanu Kohanim, vayomru lo, and the Kohanim said, no, won't become Kodesh. Vayomer Haggai, and Haggai said, "Im yigat me nefesh b'chol eila hayitma. If someone is tame, if he touches any of these, will it become tame?" Vayanu Kohanim vayomru yitma, and the Kohanim say, "Yes, it'll become tame." Cheers and applause. Vayan Haggai vayomer, and Haggai responded, and he said, "Kain ha'am hazeh." So for this nation, v'chein agoya zen. So for this nation, lefanai in front of me, noam Hashem. V'chein kol ma'aseihem, and so all of their deeds, v'asher yakrivu sham tamehu. Oops. Whatever they bring here is tame. What in the world was this conversation about? What happened here? So, first of all, what you have to realize, I mentioned it in the beginning, is that they have already been bringing karbanos for years before this point. Since the time that Cyrus first allowed them back and they started trying to build. Radak says it in source number 23. And they've been trying to build it already. So now, they're going to make it firm because they're building a house. So you're no longer renting, so to speak. So now, we better test everybody and make sure that they know what they're doing. That's what Radak says. And there are three different ways that I'd like to spell out this test that's given to the Kohanim. The first is that it's a rebuke for not building. And that's the way Ibn Ezra takes it. It's a rebuke for not building. Take a look at source number 24, please. He says, "His barer ki ein koach b'kodesh lekadesh mashalo haya kodesh hayde maga emtsai." He says, "That which is holy cannot sanctify that which is not holy by touching some kind of intermediary. It doesn't work that way. The way that it does work when you're dealing with tuma ki koach tmei nefesh latamei v'zehaya derech mashal was a parable." Right? Derech Nasan el David, like Nasan Hanavi does with David HaMelech. Shetzfasu b'dvarav, where he catches him in his words, Ata ha'ish. So what he's trying to do is give them a parable and say, that which is holy cannot communicate holiness via an intermediary, unlike Tumah. You have to build directly. For the Kedusha to be brought to this house, you have to build it. It isn't going to happen while you dwell in your house. It's somehow by osmosis. It's going to happen. That's the way that Ibn Ezra takes it, and it's a rebuke for not building. Radak also says it's a rebuke for not building, but he says it's actually a test about tumah, about impurity, that they're being rebuked for not building the Beis HaMikdash and settling for the Mizbeach. But I'm going to skip that right now, just for the time being, at any rate. That's the approach of Ibn Ezra and Radak. It's a rebuke for not building. Rashi, though, from the Gemara in Pesachim, says no. This is actually a set of questions that are being asked of the Kohanim to see, do they know their stuff? And within Rav's view, in the Gemara in Pesachim, they failed. And they're being rebuked for not knowing the laws of Tumah and the laws of Hekdesh. That's the way that he takes it. And then the third view, and this is Malbim's view, is that it's a rebuke for their spiritual level. And he sees three lessons in these psukim. He says, the opening pasuk is trying to say that kedusha, holiness, is not transferred immediately. Vinaga, if it touches something, it doesn't become holy. They were right when they said lo in pasuk Yud Bet. In Pasuk Gimel, in sentence 13, in Yiga, if there's just immediate, brief contact for Tumah, will it communicate Tumah? He says, you better believe it. And the message, as read by Malbim, is Tumah is contracted immediately. Kedusha takes extended contact. You want to introduce holiness? You have to stick with it. Impurity? Just takes a second. Holiness? That takes work. That takes long-term exposure. That's number one. Number two, Tumah can hit you from the outside, whereas Kedusha has to be absorbed inside. It's not enough to be nogea bikanaf, to touch the outer part of the garment. It's got to be inside. It has to be internal. And number three, he says, you haven't sanctified yourselves yet. You're still Tamei, and therefore whatever you bring as a karban is Tamei. You have to make yourselves kadosh. You have to make yourselves holy, and then you will be able to build. Those are the three messages that Malbim sees. It's a beautiful message that he's offering in this education of the Kohanim. So either it's a rebuke for not building, a la Ibn Ezra. You can't expect the Kedusha to just happen. You have to communicate it directly. Or it's a rebuke for failure to... a rebuke for their ignorance. Rashi with the Gemara and Pesachim, which I didn't bring you on their sheet. It's an elaborate discussion. And then third, Malbim, who says he's rebuking them for their spiritual level and saying you have to work on it. You have to build Kedusha. Tumah is easy. Holiness is hard. That's the way Malbim reads it. And then we get the closing nevuah, the closing prophecy. Pasuk Tesvav, sentence 15, a third iteration of Simu Levavchem. You got to pay attention. He says, Ve'atah, and now, Simu Nalevavchem min hayom azev amala. Pay attention from this day forward. Miterem sum even al even beheichal Hashem. Before stone can be placed on a stone. In the palace of God. And that's why Rashi said earlier that they were just planing the stones and preparing the wood. Because stone has not yet been placed upon stone. So what they had been doing earlier must have been just preparing the materials. He says, before stone can be placed on stone in the palace of Hashem, you are going to have to pay attention, he says. Miyosam ba'el arimas esrim v'haysa asara. Ba'el ayekev lachsov hamishim pura v'haysa esrim. He says, you know what things were like before? Things were terrible before. You came to the grain and you thought you had 20 measures, and in fact you had 10. You came to the wine press, you thought that you had 50 pura, and in fact you had 20. He cases them. I have struck you. Bashi dafon uvayerakon. Right, the predictions from also Parshas Hashavua. The predictions of disaster. I struck you with plagues uvabarad and with hail. Eis komasei dechem. All the deeds of your hands. Ve'ein eschem elai nu Hashem, and nobody came back to me. Simu nalavavchem. That's the fourth one. He says, put your hearts to this now. Min hayom hazev amalach. from this day forward, miyom esrim ve'arba'a latishii, the 24th day of the 9th month, erev Hanukkah, l'min ayom asher yusad heichal Hashem, from the day when the palace of God was established, simu levavchem. You have to, he says, you have to hearken to this. You have to listen to this. Ha'od hazera bamigura. He says, while the seed is yet in the migura, the place where you store the grain, the grape, the fig, the pomegranate, the olive has not yet borne fruit. The day when you haven't yet put stone on stone. Hayom haze avarech. I am going to bless this day. Vayidvar Hashem shenis. El Chagai, and this word comes to Chagai, Be'esrim ve'arba'al ha'chodesh, the 24th day of that month, Lemor saying the following, Emor el Zerubbabel, Pachas Yehuda Lemor, tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Yehuda, to say, Ani mar'ish es ha'shamayim ve'es ha'aretz, as promised, the earth will quake, the heavens and the earth will quake. V'hafachti kisei mamlachos, I will overturn the throne of empires. V'ishmadati chozek mamlachos hagoyim, I will destroy the strength of the empires of the nations. V'hafachti merkava v'rochveh, I will overturn the chariot and its riders. V'yordu susim v'rochvehem, and the horses and its riders, all of them will fall. Ish becherav achiv, all these people who come at you with the sword will collapse by the sword. Bayom Hahu, on that day, Nu'um Hashem Tzvakos, the word of Hashem, Ekachacha, Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, Avdi Nu'um Hashem, Zerubbabel, my servant, I will take you, V'samticha kachosam, I will make you like a chosam. Kivacha v'charti Nu'um Hashem Tzvakos, you I have selected, this is the word of God. What does that mean when he says, I will make you like a chotam? What is a chotam? What is a seal? Sorry? Anyone read Shashirim? Simeni kachosam al libecha. Place me like a seal upon your heart. A seal is a seal of approval. A seal is a confirmed contract that will never be altered. A seal could be a sign of royalty, I suppose. But fundamentally, a seal is something you keep close to you. Simeni kachosam al libecha. Hashem had told Yechaniah, the previous king, the ancestor of Zerubbabel, Hashem had told Zechariah, it's in Yirmiyahu, Perichav Beis, Pasuk Chavdalet, I wanted to include it here, but I see I did not. But Hashem had told Yechaniah, you will not be a chosam. You can't. But this one can. Hashem promises, I will be close to you again. And that's the conclusion of the Nebuah of Haggai. He began the Nebuah by saying, things have been terrible. You've been suffering. There's been famine. Your produce hasn't come through. You're miserable. You look at what you have and you say, ah, oh, there's nothing here. We don't have the miracles. It's not time for you to dwell in your houses. Dwelling in your houses? Who gave you permission to dwell in your houses? You asking me when it's time to build? You should be telling me it's time to build. Ask me when it's time to sit at home. But you should be going on and building. Take the wood, go up the mountain and build. And all those terrible problems that you currently have, the famine is going to be reversed. The starvation is going to be reversed. I'm going to shake the heavens and shake the earth. But it's going to have to be you. And following Malbim on the test of the Kohanim, you're going to have to be persistent. Kedusha isn't like Tumah. Tumah, impurity. That's easy. You catch that in an instant. That's contagious. Kedusha, you got to work at it. It takes prolonged exposure. And so that's what you're going to have to do. You have to be willing to work. But on this 24th day of Kislev, I'm telling you that this is something that is within your capacity. And when you start it, I will complete it. Thank you very much. See you on Chagai. You can go out and get food for the lunch, which begins, God willing, in just a couple of minutes. Our topic is conflict of interest. It's about the rules for accountants, but everybody can participate. Thank you.